meeting to order and begin with, roll call. Dwayne?
Yes.
Here.
Cindy?
Yes.
Kristen?
Yes.
Monica?
Yes.
Okay, take a look at your agenda and I'll introduce,
I'll move to the agenda.
Thank you.
Second.
Dwayne?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Kristen?
Yes.
Monica?
Yes.
Okay, it is our understanding that tonight we're going to look over some board policies and have discussion amongst ourselves for how to best, amongst the board, for how best to either leave them as is or tweak them. So, you start.
I start? Well, the list of policies that you have in front of you, I'll deal with, obviously, board policy starting the 200 series when we talk about development of policy, adoption of policy, review, and revision of policy. And then 626 should not be in there, but 628, 29, 630, and 631 are all relevant to something we've had going on in the school district here, that when we talk about instructional material selection, instructional material inspection, objection to instructional materials, and then media center. And so you have those policies. You've had them, I know, to look at. In the 200 series, I don't know that there was any conversation about changes there, but it's just a reminder of the policies that we have in place in terms of how do board policies come about. So 221 is on the development of policies. And if you look at that, it talks about the board's role in that the board has jurisdiction to legislate policy for the school district with the force and effect of law. Policy statements may be proposed by board members, administrators, employees, students, members of the school community. Proposed policy statements or ideas will be submitted to the superintendent's office. So there's that. Then I think it's just important to keep in mind. And then adoption of policy is 222. And the board will give notice of proposed changes or adoption of new policies by placing them on the agenda of two regular board meetings. So we have two readings of each board policy anytime there's a revision or adoption of a new policy. So the board takes action on that. And then 226 is review and revision of board policy. And we have to review our policies every 5 years. Then once it's been reviewed, even if there's no changes were made, a notation of the date of review is made. And then we will review 1/5 of our manual each year. So, and we have a committee that met prior to this meeting that's made up of staff, a couple board members, Dwayne and Annika are on that, and then some parents, and we also have some students on that as well. We meet monthly, and we're actually in the 600 series right now, which is several of our policies on the agenda tonight are in that series. So any questions or comments or anything on those 200 series policies? Okay. Then if you go to 600 series, starting with policy on instructional material selection. That's 628. We do have a policy on the selection of instructional materials. And I don't know, in your review of that, if you have anything you want to something up to discuss. The School Board Association did just send out a policy primer last week that the board was sent, and several of these policies, they do have some proposed revisions to them, and 628 instruction material selection is one of those policies that they do have some recommended changes. I don't know that there's the spirit of the policy for sure is remains the same, but even with those revisions, but most of those revisions are from legislative action that took place during the legislative session last year. And once the rules get written, then policies get updated. So we kind of got that going on, and our committee just went through those proposed revisions from ISBA just prior to this meeting. So we're in the process of looking at those. But so I guess I'll just, anything from the board on 628?
I have one question. It says in making the recommendations to the superintendent and or designating the license, employees will select materials which support the educational philosophy, goals and objectives of the school district, and how they consider an age. All of these are good points. My question is, are we actually doing that? Do we have licensed employees picking out our curriculum and our media?
Yeah, so, and we can talk about instruction materials and libraries here. One of the adjustments is that ISB is making is including library in these policies, so it's not just science materials or math materials. But we do have a process where licensed employees look at that. Now, we don't have a school librarian right now, and so what we're doing is our own licensed staff we have in the district, in addition to them, the Heartland ADA is working with us. They have a couple librarians, and they're working with us to review any purchases that would happen. Prior to last year, we had a school librarian, and that was our licensed employee that made decisions on what books to purchase based on that person's work that they did on that. It's common that they look at a variety of recommendations, and then also input from our building staff. I know that we have teachers that make requests for purchases of books in the library on a regular basis, and then our staff looked at that. So in the absence of a librarian, what we're doing is utilizing current staff that we have in the building, along with help from Heartland ADA.
But prior to this year, media specialist was kind of in charge of selection
for the library.
Yes,
for the library.
Thank you for making the distinction, because I don't want us to be talking about two different instances right now.
Yeah.
I want to talk about library books right now.
And instruction materials, that's led from the administration working with teachers. So, you know, in my time here, we bought some elementary math. I think maybe they bought elementary reading right before I got here. And then last year we bought anatomy and physiology.
Biology.
Software for middle school science and STEM. And we purchased some science materials for our new program at the elementary school.
The elementary school, yeah.
So we did purchase some, just recently, some welding materials that needed to be replaced.
So that process is, you know, when we're looking at a lot of these curricular areas, we need to make sure that we're looking at the whole from kindergarten to 12th grade. And so it involves staff throughout the system at those different levels, providing input. But those are our licensed people that work on their purchase or the selection of instructional materials. We have not, our policy says that the board may appoint an ad hoc committee for the selection of instructional materials. The committee may be composed of district employees, parents, students, committee members, or representatives from of community groups. Not use an ad hoc committee at this point.
One of the discussions earlier was just the policy committee. We talked a little about this. For certain subject matters, we may want to, as a board, consider that. We talked about like math stuff. Some of the science things are pretty straightforward. But there could be some subject materials, health. If we change health curriculum down the road, to do that, to consider an ad hoc committee that where you could involve, and we would decide, okay, we'll have some district employees, have some parents involved for the help, at least, in some discussions in regard to that curriculum. Again, this is about curriculum. This isn't library materials here. Mm-hmm. This is about instructional materials. Just kind of with our culture, the way a lot of things are going. So, probably your board members still about that, but as we kind of look to go forward, I'm definitely open to, as Casey, Corinne have curriculum changes coming, or saying a year from now we want to be ordering that. You know, we got to plan that a little bit ahead of time to get a committee together to at least assist and get some input into, you know, some instructional materials. So, what rest you can feel about that. But.
Okay. Are there any other questions about 628? About the 628-01. That I've been getting to more of the nitty-gritty of what does this mean?
Civil regulations with that. So policies sometimes have a regulation or an exhibit to go with them. And 628 does, and this is their responsibility for selection and instruction of instructional materials. And there's formatting issues there, but this is one that I think their ISB, we're in our policy meeting, we're looking at revisions to this policy, but the R1 for sure. But this is the regulation, so this is kind of, the policy says something, so how does that get played out? How does that get put into action? The regulation speaks to that. So responsibility of selection of instructional materials. The board is responsible for matters relating to the operation of the school district. The responsibility of instructional materials is delegated to the professionally trained and licensed employees of the school system. For purposes of this rule, the term instructional materials include printed, audiovisual materials, not equipment, whether considered text materials or media center materials. The board retains the final authority to approve textbooks. And then it goes through the selection materials may involve many people, including principals, teachers, students, parents, community members, and media specialists. The responsibility for coordinating the selection of most instructional materials and making the recommendation for the purchase rests with licensed employees. For the purpose of this rule, the term media specialist includes librarians, school media specialists, or other appropriately licensed persons responsible for the selection of media equipment and materials. And then, of course, once the materials are selected, it's administration gets those things out. If the board appoints an ad hoc committee to make a recommendation on the selection of instructional materials, ad hoc committee shall be formed and appointed in compliance with the board policy on ad hoc committees. So there's a lot of stuff in there. I don't know what degree you want me to go through all that. But.
I think it's wise to look at Roman numeral number 2 of this policy, 628R1, and the guidelines that are in place for religion, mm-hmm. racism, sexism, age, ideology, profanity, and sex, and controversial issues. I think. what would we need to actually tweak any of those?
You will have minor updates from the ISB policy.
That's good to know.
This matched what the ISB policy was prior to last week, and then last week when they sent theirs out, there's just a few. But nothing drastically changes any of them.
So the policy committee asked if it could be formatted to be able to be a little easier. A lot of times when things are changed, they're cut and pasted, so it doesn't always follow the best flow, because this a lot of material.
Yeah, there's a lot of material.
B and C, racism and sexism, one thing that's added, it says required material will comply with all applicable laws. So just clarifying that that's what's recommended. That's a recommended change from their policy.
You know, the applicable laws are set out by the Iowa legislature.
It's the Iowa code, yeah, that we call
it. Is Iowa code trumped by national code?
The legal reference on this policy
on
is Iowa code.
Our curriculum will be on Iowa code.
Okay. I would not be happy to look for those that would later on the top, just so I knew like our students here. Okay. Also looking at 620R1.
Put back on that.
Okay.
Because it's listed as this is the I'm going to say the revised one coming from the state school board association, but under like F under R's on the profanity and sex reference, I think a lot of people in this room here would have a question of material shall be subject to a test of literacy, merit, and reality by the media specialist and licensed staff who will take into consideration their reading of public and community standards of morality. I don't know what that is. I don't know what we use as a test of literacy merit, but that's why we have people in the room here today regarding library books and wanting, I think, to know a little bit of a balance. What do we have for a standard here? What are we going to have as a gauge and a benchmark when something's crossed over a line? And if we as a board, you know, can determine that or help guide our administration in that. But, and I felt like it was a little bit, was that what you were getting at in your question there earlier?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't change the language in what's probably going to get proposed. That still stayed the same as far as, but I just read that, and I don't know if you guys can clarify that for us, how you determine that?
Well, the literary merit is determined by a couple, many things, not like millions, but a few things. It's things like test of kind, realistic characters, topics of discussion, like does it generate discussion? Does it have interest to readers? There's many things that can fill that blank in for literary merit. There's no one definition of that, but if a group of people said, does this have literary merit, they would look at that. They would look at things like that.
I would hope we also look at consideration for public and community standards of morality on books as well, and things that are in our library. I realize there's different gauges of what that would look like. And I don't know, like I said, we've had some books that have been in our library for some time. It sounds like obviously went unnoticed until here, just recent. So we have to kind of come to a crossroads here where we want to set forward as a standard, what we want to look like to our community. I guess I'd welcome any other comments from board members.
Well, I'm looking at this, especially the one that seems to get everybody upset, which is profanity and sex. Profanity is a loosey-goosey thing. I hate the timbre of language in our culture today. And I'm talking Carol. I'm talking Carol. And you can go to Walmart, or you can go to Hy-Vee, or you can go to any of our stores. You can go to a football game, and you will hear out of adults' mouths profanity. So is that the norm? Does that become the norm? Or do we rise above it and say, no, what your dad says on the football field is wrong, wrong, wrong. Do we go that way? That's where profanity gets weird. Sex, well, sex has always been weird. Because for some people, it's perfectly normal what they're reading. Mm-hmm. Or it speaks to a full disclosure. I have a child that is, my grandchild is the child of meth addicts. So some of the reading that you have picked out, which is Ellen's books, I can't think of her last name now, they don't have it in front of me. Yes, thank you. Speak to his experience. And he finds hope in it because Ellen was there where his parents were, are, and got better. But it's so nasty, you know, but it's kind of a cautionary tale. But I have thoughts on what we can do to remedy that, you know, so. But not everyone in this community has parents that don't swear, has parents that don't talk about sex. Our TV shows talk about sex. Everything is so sexualized in this world today. I feel sorry for kids. I feel sorry for kids today. Because they're exposed on what we consider a G-rated show. You don't know what the advertisement's going to be. You know, suddenly you're gobsmacked by something. So what we need is then this a group, like it talks about in our policy, that goes over all these things. I notice consistently, Duane, correct me if I'm wrong, consistently through our policy, the mention of child pornography is brought up. Excuse me. This is why I'm wearing the mask. It's not COVID. But I was talking to another religious leader here in town, and he said, couldn't we have a method where if there is, I think child pornography, they don't need to read about that at all. On the other hand, there may be children in our school district that have experienced that. I would guarantee that of children in this school district that have experienced that. And that's the hard part about being a public school is it's for all people. And so we have to kind of, I sound like I'm wandering, and I don't mean to, but I'm just trying to get across the idea that Ellen Hopkins' books are brutal. They're awful. But they're speaking the truth to kids that you don't know. And I'm glad that you don't have that issue in your school.
Do you get a chance to respond at any point?
No, you may not. I'm sorry. That's Iowa law.
Not even if it's a work session?
It's still a called official meeting.
So we should have been on the agenda?
We should have called on Thursday.
So the board has the discretion to decide on how to handle public input. We didn't have a public presenter item on the agenda. So, but that's what she means.
So, I know it's frustrating when you can't talk back.
So it's frustrating when we don't know the rules when we're coming in. That's what's frustrating. I mean, if we knew we couldn't talk back, we would have never came. So thank you.
There's the public library has all those books you're referring to. They need to get all those books you're referring to at the public library. It does not belong at the public school. The Carroll Community Public School is not a place for sexually explicit material. And there needs to be objective standards for this kind of material. That's what I'm asking for, is objective standards.
Thank you, Amy.
And you're ready for the policies.
Thank you, Amy.
It doesn't answer the question.
Thank
Cindy.
You, Amy. We're still working on it. This is a working session. Thank you.
Okay. So,
I do have a proposal about books like this.
I do have a problem with some of these books that are in our library.
Yeah,
I have spoken to some of our administrators privately. We have a lot of concerned citizens. They're not the only ones that are sitting here. And in all honesty, I mentioned this to Casey earlier, you know, I support public education. I really do. And if we can't properly address issues like this, and I feel like put some standards in place, and I realize that some kids that have been abused and can identify maybe with some of this, but I still don't feel that it's appropriate in our library to have as graphic a description as in some of the materials we had given to us that I read, and I reread through some of it again today, because it had been a couple weeks, and just there, and I'm like, I just don't get the literary value of some of these materials being in the library. You know, we have our policy on computers and images and restricting those things. And when kids read, what does it do? It's the imagination it triggers, which is wonderful. In younger kids, we talk about inspiring imagination. I don't think some of these books are inspiring a good imagination. And that's why I feel like we need to put some standards in place that some of these, if they're at the very least, they should have to have parental permission to check them out so the parent is engaged and involved. And I mentioned earlier about really supporting public education. I do because, and I mentioned to Casey earlier, in between our two meetings, they said, you know, the state legislature's talking about school vouchers. And I feel like, you know what, we need people to have reasons to stay in public education. If we don't have some standards here, we're giving more people to say, I want vouchers, but I want to go somewhere else. And I want people in our district to say, you know what, this district stands up for some morality, it stands up for good things, it's going to support public education. This is why we need to take a harder action on this and not think about, okay, there's a kid or two who may identify with it, but it also can lead a kid or two down a bad path. And so as a board, we need to come to grips with this and just address these issues. And I know for everybody being here, it's not a public forum, it's not to get dialogue, but we need as a board to have dialogue on this and to seriously take a look at it and decide, what do we want our district to look like? I don't want to give people reasons to go outside of public education here. I think we have a great district. We have so many positive things going on. And I think this is just one step that we can put some parameters in place or encourage our administrators to put, you know, some parameters in place to, hey, let's take these people seriously. And I know the policies are there to be able to allow people to address things if they're objectionable, to file the things they need to file. And I feel like this new stuff coming clarifies it a little better than our policy. Yeah. It's a little muddied up.
Yeah.
And the new one does, but it's going to, you know, take another board meeting or two to do that. So I'm going to ask the public to be a little patient with us to give us, we'll get through this, but I'm really hoping as a board, I'm going to be very supportive of having, I'd like to see the three of those books that Amy brought up removed, or at the very least, have parameters put in place that if a child wants it, they have to check it out with parental permission.
Now, so, see, that's where you and I are 100% in agreement. I think that having, that if they're 18, they're 18, they're adults. But if they're not, they have to have parental permission to check a book out like that. They're in a separate section. And I think that makes sense.
Like I said, I just can't help but go back to the computer, the filters, the restrictions, and then we get to a book and it's, and again, I look at, okay, yeah, we don't allow images, we're worried about pictures and graphics and things hitting the computer. But right up in the kid's head, there's a pretty good graphic going on when they're reading some of that material. And I put those two kind of in the same category as far as, you know, if it's not appropriate on the one, why is it going to be appropriate on the other?
So with staying within IASB guidelines and state guidelines, is there a way we could lump instructional materials and library materials and computers all into one grouping and treat them all the same?
I think if you look at some of our language, just like on here, in our current policy on the profanity and sex portion of it, you know,
so back are you to public thinking of community. Banning every book that
no, I'm not
has
talking about
sex in it? No. Like, what are your well, a guideline to that.
This is going to be, we're going to, this is going to be a guideline to have a discussion and with.
Because it makes you uncomfortable, then we, I mean, like, where's your guidelines?
I think when you get into, I'm not going to get into this.
It's a very fine line of who
you. But we
have
to determine that. We still have to have a standard. We still have to have something that's a benchmark.
I think it's hard to decide what standard that is, though. Like,
it is.
That's where I think the difference is that parents should tell their kid not to check that book out. It's your parent control.
Parents don't know the books are there. None of these parents know these books are there.
Okay, please do not speak.
We got to work through it, Kristen. And because I'm not in favor of this, and I don't think you would either. Some of this material, I doubt your boy, you'd want your boy. I can't imagine you'd want your boys reading those materials.
I'm just asking, like, where you draw that line. Like, where is your standard versus my standard versus Jerry's standard versus Sue's standard? Like, everybody's standard is going to be different on what's appropriate and what's not.
They are different.
It's like parenting, you know? Like, some people's curfews are midnight, some are 10. Some don't let them go out on school nights. Some let them go out every school night.
Well, I guess I feel like as a board, we should have a determination at least to allow the administrators the freedom and the support to say, look, if you feel this graphically goes over the line in sexually explicit materials, we back you to not bring it in, work in your schools. Take it out of the library, or at the very minimum, require parental signature, you know, to check that book out. And we're going to have to trust our administrators to make that decision. And I'm going to be one to say, well, let's err on the side of caution and require it on more than on fewer. And then some people say, well, I want it on a few books. But again, if there is no hard line, you're going to be able to describe it. You could have certain words and certain types of graphic things that are described that say we don't want that. And again, support our administration.
I haven't heard administration come in and ask for books to be banned.
No, I'm not talking about banning books.
You did say to ban those three books that she suggested.
I suggest to take them out of the library.
But
you know what? When a media specialist gets a list of books and they decide which ones they're going to order in, they're making choices and decisions. And if we had a bad choice, I see that as I'm just doing a bad choice.
And
you can call the banning if you want. But
I think there's a policy 629 has a form. Nobody here in this room has filled out a form saying please reconsider this book that's in place.
Right.
And that's actually already in our, it's a reconsideration of instructional materials. These are in the media center. They're at principal's offices. You can get one and you can tell what don't you like? Why don't you like? What do you want done? And then a group gets together and it's sent out in policy on what to do. But, you know, to look at it and decide whether this book is going to stay in or if it's going to go out. And it's not just the administrators, it's parents, and it's a couple of students, and administration, and a couple of teachers, I think. It's an eight person. I've got it delineated here.
You're talking the reconsideration committee.
Right.
Yeah.
So, just a couple things. When concern was raised about some books, we have staff reading three books right now. So there's three books that are being read by our staff to look at, because we have to, just like you would in the committee, you have to, the folks on the committee got to read the book. So we are doing that. It's not that we're not doing anything. We also are, we've had meetings and on the selection of materials as we go forward. Middle school, high school, library, we've not made any orders. We've made a few at the elementary, but so we're looking at that. And what I heard you say, and Karine kind of brought it up, you know, the question of on specific to the identity and sex, test of literary merit and reliant reality. I'm wondering if I'm hearing Dwayne say this correctly, that, you know, what is the, what is the, what are those standards,
right,
that, like, that we would be familiar with well, going into it?
There's a couple things that I want to clarify. There's two things happening, really, or could happen. One is the reconsideration piece if the paperwork is filled out. On the other side of it, there is a certified group of people that have been gathering and meeting for a month and a half now, every 2 weeks. Certified employees. I'm leading that committee.
Great. Who's on that?
There's a high school rep, Amy Allison, myself, Ryan Simone. Oh, St. Cooper. And I think that's it. All certified, two of which have English degrees, which doesn't mean anything. Okay, but when you're looking at literary merit, it might. That being said, when we had had a discussion with Amy, I promised her I was going to read the books, and I am. So I am reading those books, and when you had mentioned taking it seriously, I just want to tell you we are. And this is aside from, this is one of those things that's duties as aside, but it's also helping, I think, with the understanding and review of what we need to do. So part of the process that we're looking at is, what do we have in our library? So we are doing right now an audit with Heartland AEA. They are reviewing every single thing in our collection, which could do a couple of things. One, do we have outdated materials? Two, do we have materials that are representative of things that are in our curriculum, like just to simplify, do we have enough nonfiction materials, or do we have too much fiction? There is a science to this, right? So what teachers, if they come in, or people come in and say, I want these books, they're generally going to pick what? They're going to pick fiction books, right? Because that's what kids want to read. But that doesn't mean that's what we should have in our library. So that audit is happening right now. And I'm in contact with her at Heartland at least weekly on how is this going, what is it looking like. And she's going to give us a recommendation. The other thing she asked me to do, or I asked her to do, is, okay, so we're going to get a list of books that we should probably take out because they're outdated, or they haven't been checked out in a long time, or whatnot. That makes room for new materials. So the other piece of it is, she said, what's your budget? And she kind of said it in a funny way, like, what's your budget? Because, you know, we can go $10,000 to $25,000 in new material. I'm like, whoa, you know. We just want to kind of get an idea of things that we might want to order. Now, the interesting piece of this is it's all coming to a head in an interesting way, I guess, because instructional materials didn't mandate libraries, right, like before this. So now it does. Now instructional materials, and I'm thinking as a curriculum director how great that is, because we want our libraries and media centers to support materials in our classrooms, and the need for that, and the standards that we set forth with our teacher teams. So that's a good thing. They shouldn't be operating in two separate worlds. It just kind of made my list of things to do a lot longer. But it's not a bad thing. So one of the pieces from this that we will do prior to having, because, like I said, there's not been a the paperwork hasn't been filled out in terms of, we don't like this book, we want you to look at it. But that doesn't mean that we can't review the book, right? I mean, as administrators, we can review the book. And that's what we're doing. So I have completed one and half of the other, half of the other book. So this group may say, you know, maybe this book isn't something that we want to support in our libraries. Maybe it hasn't been checked out enough. I don't know, I guess that would be the direction of what you want us to do, but I do want to say that we're taking it seriously, and the books right now, one is on one person's desk, one is on another person's desk, and the third is on a third person's desk, and they're not on the shelf to check out because we're reviewing them. So I feel like we're taking that seriously because you've asked us to check.
Have there been requests to check them out? Mm-hmm.
I even looked back at how many times they have been checked out over the last 3 years. One more than others. One particular group of books is very popular. I did check at the public library, they're all there. I did check at high schools, many of them. I haven't found one that's not there yet, but I haven't called everybody yet either. I mean, I've just called local areas. So, not that that's our gold standard. It's not, because, like you have said, our community is our community. We should support that. I just wanted to check for myself, right? Yeah, just because I want to be sure I know what I'm talking about. So, yeah. But I do think that what I really I like what you said was patience, but I also want people to know that those three books are being reviewed. They're not on the shelves to be checked out. And we are taking it seriously. Not just me, but the superintendent as well.
So when you get through with the review with the committee, what's the next
No, I think that for sure the committee is going to be looking at the audit is what because we do. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot one thing, and I had it written down. We have orders from each book, each library, each media center has a list of books that they want to order. Fairview was ordered, their children's books, so we went ahead and ordered those. We have very few books from the middle school, which is a little bit concerning. So we want to make sure that they have new books in the middle school. So they actually may place their orders. The high school has a list of books, and Adams has submitted a list of books, and we're having Heartland review those. Our committee will look at those to make sure that those are books that we feel comfortable with. And that may not happen quickly. That might happen over the course of the next month once we look at those. You can see the summaries of the book if it has mature content. If it has mature content, we might take a look at it a little deeper. So you can rest assured that a certified group of people are reviewing the books before. So next step, that's the next step, because we do want to get orders in for books because we want to put those in the hands of kids.
I think I still go back to that some of these books need parental supervision, I guess. I think that is a pretty good compromise for those who are in favor of banning books, those who want these books caught at all costs. That if ultimately a child's life is cared for by a parent, nobody's going to love that person more than the parent. And so to have in place a way for if somebody hears about the book tricks, which is a kind of makes my head swim when I read it, they have to have their parents' permission. If they're 18, then they're an adult. But if they're not, they need parental permission. I don't think that would be an issue to set up. What are your thoughts, Monica and Kristen, on that kind of thing, because that's not in our policy, though. That would be in addition to.
We have that kind of been brought up in a policy meeting, and there's not an easy way to do that right now. It doesn't mean it shouldn't be done or anything, but those are questions that need to be asked. Are the books flagged? Are the students flagged? I would agree, it's a parent's choice, but one parent's choice over what their child reads, sees, and listens to does not extend to my choice of what my child reads, sees, and listens to. Therefore, I'm not in favor of just taking these books off the shelf. And we have policies to follow, which, and thank you, Karine, for you and your team looking at, because that's what needs to be done. Someone can't just come in and say, oh, I take this excerpt, and did you know there's pornography in there? And, okay, well, is that the entire book? Is this being taken out of context? And I can't just say, well, I haven't read it,
and just be sure that profanity and sexual content is different than pornography.
Yes.
Correct.
True. Yeah.
But not for all people.
Some of the sexual descriptions in this board, it is pornographic because it creates enough of an image in your mind. You don't need a picture to see it. I mean, some of the stuff I read, I mean, it's really it's there. And I guess that's what I get into. Okay, how do you determine if you're going to have parental permission? If it's going to be sexually explicit, you probably should have parental permission. At some point, you got to start someplace with that. Rather than just have it opened.
It's just not as simple.
I know it's not simple.
Yeah, I would almost agree with you. I mean, the tricks is tough to read.
It is.
But there are other materials like Where the Red Fern Grows, or not that one, I'm sorry, Where the Caged Bird Sings, I'm sorry. That there are pieces of that, but I'm not sure, so there's a continuum, right, of things, and
right.
I think that's the literary merit part that we have to be very careful of, because in Kristen's point, where's the line? And I think Where the Caged Bird Sings is an excellent book and should be on it, but I'm not sure that everyone would agree with me. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's some things
when you get a book that, we're not sure, then why not have parental permission for it? Why is that so hard? Honestly, why is that so hard?
Well,
because then you allow the parents to make the decision.
If
it's going to be one that can be deemed to fall into a controversial category, at the very minimum, why would you not?
The parents already have control of what the students...
No, they don't have control.
They should. Like, if you don't... If I, as a parent, say, Tyson, don't check out that book, or when he brings the book home, I look at his book, you can control your child in that way and what they're reading and what they're checking out as a parent. I don't need to. And if they're doing that, then they're doing that on their phone, they're doing that on their computer,
You're responsible for your kid's phone, not the school district.
You're responsible for what your kid is doing.
Right. So, again, you'll have parents totally disengaged with kids in school. We talk about the district being a safe place. How is this being safe? Because you have parents that aren't engaged. I hear what you're saying, but again, what is wrong? Well, if there's a book that gets deemed to be in this controversial, it gets, okay, it doesn't cross the line, does it not?
Yeah,
why not?
I'm really troubled by your blanket statement that none of the parents are involved.
No,
wow.
I'm saying there's a lot of parents
that
are not involved.
That's what you said, and
no,
I'm
saying,
wow.
I'm saying there's a lot of parents are not involved. They don't know what their kids are reading, at home or in school. There's a lot of parents that aren't. I wish they were. But what I'm saying is, if something falls in this, I wonder about this category, what is wrong with having parental permission?
How is it decided that it falls in that category?
Well, our administrators will come up with a category for that, or we can say, hey, if it's too graphic, too sexually explicit in the description, then put a parental permission slip on it. You got your committee that's looking for these. They're looking at these.
There's a lot of books in the library.
Well, it may be some of these books you wouldn't even be aware of until somebody brings it to your attention, and it's like, well, maybe we should do a last, have a discussion on it.
Well, one of
that's one step, and that's what the filling out the form is for, to bring that to our attention, the audit.
I guess what I want to do is try to get us to the point where we don't have people having to come forward with objectionable materials and form a committee for that. And then if they don't agree with that, the committee doesn't, put a restriction on that, then it's going to come before this board, and we're going to deal with it there.
Okay.
And policy 630.E2 covers all of that, where they don't need to take up time. They just go home, they take this form, fill it out, turn it back in. And then it starts a clock.
Yes, it starts the process.
So we already have that in place.
Yes, I know.
But nobody has filled one of these out, so there's no clock running.
Because we don't want students reading them. Yeah. I told Dr. Brown.
Please stop.
So in ISB's revision to this policy, it does state, or they have put in there a form where a parent could opt out, but it's by book. I mean, not a book. That's how it's set up, it's by book. And the board will have to decide if we want it. It's up to our discretion. The committee had talked about it a little bit. But that's one of the things that is in ISB policy revision.
So 629.
Yeah, where you would fill it out and say, I don't want my child to be able to check out this book, the author, and the title. And then if there are multiple books, you'd fill it out multiple times. Is probably how it works.
And those forms are available.
No, we don't have that currently.
You don't have it currently. Well,
that's a possible revision.
We did it. Okay.
That's
so we need to get that out.
That's part of what that state association has brought as changes for the boards to consider.
Okay. Yeah.
Which we'd review it at 4 and 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I don't want another parent telling me what my child can read in the school district. I have a real issue with that. I think we're on a very slippery slope. And we have to follow policy. A book is a deliberate thing. You go, you check out, pick up, and read. A computer is not. Computers, you just hop on. So I think that the governors we have in place on our computers are excellent. Did you know that the newspapers are also governed and not allowed to read on our Chromebooks here at the school district? So gonna have to go to the library and check out the Des Moines Register and read it like we had to when we were in school. With various things that are governed, because the computer is instantaneous. Whereas books is a deliberate thing.
Like I said earlier, the books create are there to create images and
also expose kids to worlds that they're not exposed to. They put them in the shoes of other people. Look around this room. There's not diversity in a great extent in this room. And there is some in our district, but there are kids that they need to be prepared to go out in the world. And some of these books that some parents might not want their kids to read, we don't get to say, okay, well, you can't read this book about a transgender child, or you can't, read this book about, a bisexual person. I'm sorry, you're going to encounter those people in the world.
Oh, I realize that.
So I guess it's just, what are we trying to do here? Like, are we trying to come up with a policy? Are we trying to come up with a committee?
According to the policy, there really doesn't need to be a committee until someone turns in a reconsideration request for it. Then it kicks in. That's what I say. Then the clock starts. Mm-hmm. And it has to be taken care of rather quickly. Mm-hmm. There is a timeline. But until those aren't turned in, I'm kind of hearsay. I hear that this book, and I looked at these texts, out of context texts, and this is that, so we need to take a call. And my attitude is, don't let your child read it. I don't take my child to NC-17 movies either, So.
And there are timelines on that, when that is brought
up. There are, and I know I marked it. Been a lot of paper to wade through.
I actually wanted to see what opinions were decided.
And there's always the opportunity, say you want to put tricks on your poet's outlook. I know we have a time. There's a timeline. And we have to get a licensed employee, a media specialist, a member of the administration team, three members of the community. That doesn't necessarily mean a parent of the student, but three members of our community that know how our community operates. And two high school students selected every year by the high school principal. And then they go through it and just make recommendations. They might recommend, yeah, this book is not appropriate for school use, and take it out. Or they might say, we're going to allow it to be here, but you need parental permission to take it out. The other thing is we don't see a problem with that. You do have one more recourse, though, if you're not happy with that. And that you can go to, if you're not happy with it, the board will approve or disapprove what they say in this review. You can take it to the Iowa Board of Education. So maybe it's not. So if you don't like this book, the packet was formed out, so they have that ability.
Zero.
Okay. And then there, I can't find the timeline. I know there is a timeline, though.
I was thinking there was the, I think it was 14 days, formed the committee, and then once the committee got it, they had like 5 days. Under category B, number 5. I just wondered if 5 days was enough.
Well, actually, under category A, number 2, the employee receiving the initial complaint will advise the building principal of the initial contact no later than the end of the school day, following the discussion with the individual. Whether or not the individual has been satisfied by the initial contact. A written record of the contact is maintained. Each building principal will employ for the employee, and then it goes to where you were talking. But even that, I'm not getting, and I read a time. I read a timeline.
Yeah, it's
driving me nuts.
Okay.
It's a short drive.
Letter K.
Letter K, yes. Letter K under 6.
I think that what you said, I remember thinking the same thing as Wayne, 5 days.
Well, that was under, that's under B,
oh, that
B5, B5, 6, 7, talk about. Number 5 there, the superintendent convening the reconsideration committee within 2 weeks of receipt of the reconsideration form. Number 6 there, the committee will make their recommendation to the superintendent within 5 school days of meeting. Number 7, the superintendent issue a decision related to the reconsideration request for within 5 school days from receipt of the committee's recommendation.
So it sounds almost like a 4-week policy.
And again, this is all in the new one that's coming forward.
Okay.
That we're in process.
No, it's different.
First.
Yeah, it's different. It's different than what's in our policy. But that's all part of the new revisions because of the state has actually done a lot of legwork.
I just didn't know if the days on that. I mean, 5 days seemed kind of quick, but 5 school days. No, it does have some timelines on it.
And that's good.
Yes, it is good.
And I think those revisions will have probably have those in front of them for the first time on the 17th.
Right, I would like to have those because I would like to have us to be, because I'm looking at a policy that pretty well covers the gamut of what is suitable for this district.
And the other thing that I think, you know, we haven't been doing a good job of annually stating who's on this committee, and I need to make sure that that's in place, because if there are short timelines, like, you can't, it isn't a deal where you can wait till the next school board meeting to get the process. Right. So if somebody filled up a form right after a regular meeting, we need to be able to go.
Well, when I go back to two high school students, I think they need to be of age. Certain books, you know.
Well, absolutely.
But if they're Courtney takes them and says, you two are it, they're it for the school year. So we would be wise to consider maturity.
Well,
and
I can too, we can too, but if you have thoughts on who those are, yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then we just need to add that to like every August or so.
Right.
Yeah. So we know it down into the year.
For July.
Yeah. Is there anything you want us to need to do in terms of, there's kind of a good conversation around standards of, you know, you want to look into, are there some tools out there to help us determine criteria or standards that you can use when you're looking at? I don't know if there is. I mean, without me experiencing, but I could see it, I could look into that.
I would be curious if you visit with some other superintendents, how they've handled the committee or have dealt with committees, or because we're not probably the only district dealing with controversial material. So, I mean, it's happened in the past. So I guess if you get any contact, that would be good, I think.
And I want to make sure that it is easily accessible for them to get the reconsideration as instructional materials for.
So we just sent those out to the buildings, hard copies, in the last week.
And it is on our website. All of our policies are on our website.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means they can go to one of the schools and they can go online and pick out the form, fill it out.
And our library materials are online as well. That is one of the things that has come up in some of our work. Our Follett software may be a little version or two behind, I think. So we may be looking at an update there as well.
It'll be the same for instructional and books. I'd be so wondering with the high school students and figuring out the instructional materials. Like, I could see them with the books, but it might be a hard thing for them to determine on instructional materials.
So, so the committee would just work on whether to reconsider.
Yeah.
If somebody.
Well, the instructional one says may.
Yeah.
May include principal students, community members, media specialists, or parents, students. So that's a may on the instructional one.
For reviewing.
For reviewing
the library books.
Right.
Just to clarify, that's for reviewing the selection of.
Right.
The objection to the materials.
Yeah,
the committee for that would be the same for the library and instructional committees for the objection.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
This came up. It was for an instructional. It was instructional material, a book used in an English classroom. Mm-hmm. Is my understanding. But it's not to say that somebody couldn't object to the textbook. Yeah. That'd be interesting. There'd be a lot we'd have to figure out on that.
Mm-hmm.
5 days may not be enough.
Yeah.
Textbook.
Yeah. But they have to specifically say why. So then you kind of, now you can laser in on what exactly is that textbook showing. The form is quite user-friendly and also really covers what you see as the issue. So that you're just not wading blind into something. I don't think we're going to take any of these at the time, are we?
In which time you'll be able to engage in a further conversation about policy as a whole and the revisions, including the revisions.
Okay.
So if you wanted to.
The first reading would be at our next board meeting.
Because we just
went through the committee.
Yeah.
So that would be good that our next board meeting
policy is active. If there was somebody who wanted to file an objection, there is a policy that's there today.
Yeah.
They don't have to wait because the reconsideration portion, while that is very similar, there's not big differences in that.
Most of it's just adding library materials.
Yes.
Along with instructional materials.
Yes.
It's all in one.
Yeah.
Motion to adjourn.
Aye.
Aye.